just before I read this little portion of God's word, I'm just going to pray. Dear Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of being here today. We want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to meet. We thank you for the opportunity to have fellowship with each other. But Lord, most of all, we want to thank you for the possibility for having fellowship with you. And Lord, experiencing something of that as we worshipped you. But Lord, we want to thank you that you want to provide food for us. You know where we need that spiritual sustenance, that correction, that encouragement, even that discipline. And Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each one of our hearts through the giving of your word and the reading of it now. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 4, and I'm reading from the Holman Study Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. For the sake of those who weren't here last time, can I just very briefly recap what we looked at first of all. This is this well-known passage, this marvellous description of love, can be looked at in all sorts of different ways, because the Bible tells us that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. So these descriptions, now I think I said 14, actually there are 16, or maybe 15, I've forgotten, 16. So I got the number wrong last time, 16 descriptions of love. These can be applied to how we love God. Love is patient. Love is kind. These are qualities which we need to develop or ask the Lord to develop in us, in our love for the Lord. But we're also told we're to love our neighbour. And we mentioned that last time, and each of these descriptions can be applied in that way as well. We're to love husbands. We're to love our wives. We are to love the brethren. We are to show love for all. But the particular application which I began to look at last time is something that I've never really considered from these verses, and I've certainly never heard any kind of sermon or teaching about it at all, is that statement of the Lord Jesus, picking up from the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "You shall love your neighbour as you love yourself." And I wanted to focus particularly on how we love or are to love ourselves. Now, what I said last time, please listen to the recording from last time, is we just introduced this by just putting a bit of a check with that, because the Bible also tells us that we need to hate ourselves. So I'm not going to explain that now, but there is a wrong loving of self. But there is a right loving of self. And if you're the sort of person like the, I think I mentioned last time, I think it was, oh, is it in, well, I don't know how historically true this is, but in the film Beckett, after Beckett had been assassinated by the king's minions, he hated himself for doing it. So what did he do? He had sort of an indeterminate number of lashes to his body. It's like a kind of a penance. Friends, that is not hating yourself. And it's not loving yourself by going through that kind of thing. So there are all sorts of misunderstandings about this. So as we go through these 16 descriptions, just look to the Lord to just to highlight any particular one or more of them for each one of you. It may be different. So last time we looked at the first six. The first three are an encouragement, and the second three, numbers 4 to 6, are basically a warning. And I finished with the sixth one, which is love does not act improperly, and we didn't really look at it in detail. Indeed, we're not looking at any of these things in detail. I'm just throwing out these things by way of a meditation to you. But just to enlarge on that, can I remind you that in Romans chapter 1, and I may refer to one or two verses, and I may get one or two of you to come up and volunteer or press ganged to read for us, but I'll do this one. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "The males in the same way also left natural intercourse with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Males considered shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their conversion, for their perversion." The Authorized Version talks about unseemly or improper behaviour. That is just the most obvious example. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we're to honour God with our bodies. And it talks in that chapter about how we handle food, how we handle all our bodily appetites. And so really, although Romans chapter 1 is speaking about one particular example of unseemly, uncomely behaviour, nevertheless, we can apply this, I think, right across the board to all sorts of other bodily appetites. So, my friends, if we're going to love ourselves and to love our bodies in a right way, we are going to make sure that our behaviour is suitable, is comely, is proper. Are you honouring God with your body? You know, to see somebody just sort of indulging themselves and gorging themselves with food or with alcohol or with cigarettes or with drugs or anything else like that, friends, you are not loving your body and you are not honouring your body. And love does not act improperly. Well, that was the first six. We're now going to move on to the next few. I don't know how far we're going to get, but we'll see how we go. So the kind of overall theme for the next, I think, nine of them is direction. And the first three give us mental direction. So the first of these in verse 5 we are now is love is not selfish. Love is not selfish. Or the Authorized Version puts, love does not seek her own. Just listen to some other translations of this little phrase. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-serving. That's the New English Translation. Love does not insist on its own way. Basically, love does not put self at the heart of our lives. We put God first. We're to love him first, and we're to love our neighbour. We're to love others, and we're to put ourselves last, of course. So I think this is really a challenge to us, as Philippians 2 speaks about, let each man not look out for his own interests, but also for the things of others. Actually, you will do yourself a favour. You will love yourself, actually, if you get away from just always thinking about yourself the whole time. I think, basically, most of us are pretty selfish. We put our own interests first of all. And the Bible tells us that we are to put self to death. This is partly what it means when it says, when Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we need to hate ourselves. So are you the sort of person who's looking out for the needs of others? Or are you the sort of person who's basically just looking after number one? And you know, even if you're living with others, it's easy to kind of get into the habit that really the other people that you're living with are there to kind of suit you or to help you basically look after your own life. No, when you live, particularly perhaps in a marital relationship, husband and wife, the one is to lay down the life for the other, and the other is to submit to the other, etc. And all these things, of course, are very important. So can I just throw out the challenge, really? Are you seeking to serve God and his way and being mindful of the things of others? Or are you so preoccupied with yourself that you're basically being selfish. Now, perhaps some of you would think, well, I'm not selfish. I'm really thinking of others, etc. But there's a preoccupation sometimes that we can have even with our own feelings, our own attitudes, our own thoughts, our own aspirations. It's not even a question of being selfish, but we can just be kind of rather self-centered. And loving ourselves means that we get our eyes actually away from ourselves and onto others. So let's make sure that we take note of these things. Love does not seek her own. And the second, and these things give us direction, all right? These are attitudes, mental direction. It's similar, but I don't think it's the same as the fourth of these descriptions when it says love is not boastful. All right, some people can be particularly selfish because they're mindful of self because they think of their own importance. But this is much wider than this. When it says love is not selfish, it's a general preoccupation with self. Well, the next one, love is not provoked. Now, if you've got a King James version, it will say love is not easily provoked. And I have to tell you that the translators of the Authorized Version put in the word easily, but actually it's not there in the original language. Love is not provoked. It's very similar, I suppose, to the very first of these instructions. Love is patient, and certainly that is part of it. But can I give you an idea of what the word in the original language means? It means to exasperate or to rouse to anger. It's sometimes translated as to be stirred. So love is not stirred. So I want to apply this as follows, really, as far as loving ourselves is concerned. You know, are you the sort of person who gets exasperated with yourself? You know, I mean, my cooking abilities, for example, are more or less negligible. I've got certain things. You don't mock completely. I've got a repertoire of five things which I do really well, but no more than five things. But anything else, if I'm doing anything outside the box, I get very short-tempered. I stir myself. I get very exasperated. I have to say, not half as exasperated as my wife does. But she's got to get through on that, I think. There is an exasperation of self that we can indulge in. And friends, we have just to watch it. I get increasingly exasperated with certain failings of mine. And again, we just need to learn to be patient. So what provokes you? What stirs you? And actually loving yourself, I think there's a kind of an acceptance of yourself, particularly, my dear friends, the older you may get, we get increasingly exasperated with ourselves. And we just need just to say, well, hang on a minute, you know, anno domini, that's life. And maybe just chill a little bit. Love is not provoked. Accept yourself. But there is a right stirring of self that the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. A volunteer, please, to come and read. When you found it, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Because the antidote to being exasperated with yourself is to stir up something which should be stirred up. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Anybody like to come and read it to me? Thank you. Peter, I think you were first. Thank you. Come here. Thank you. There's a 6 and 7.
Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Thank you very much. Okay. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. What is the gift of God? Well, it's another discussion, really, another consideration. But certainly if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you. This is not really what it's talking about. This is something of the gift of God which is imparted through the laying on of hands. the laying on of hands is very often the means by which a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure that's what this is talking about here. This is to do with the spiritual equipping for ministry. But however you apply it, my dear friend, if you are a believer, you have spiritual life. Stir up that spiritual life. Feed it, nurture it, nourish it. Don't just let that spiritual life sort of peter out and go to waste. Stir it up. And there are various ways that you need to find out in order to do that. Sometimes it can be very practical, simply by perhaps just listening to the right kind of music, listening to a worship CD, singing yourself, reading the scriptures, getting your mind again off certain things and onto the Lord. Just look to the Lord to help you to stir up that gift of God which is in you. So, love is not stirred. And the next one, the next kind of mental direction which we need to have. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Again, if you've got the Authorized Version, it'll say love thinks no evil. That does not mean to say that you're not going to think evil thoughts at all. That's not what it's talking about. What it's saying here is really what the translation that I read out means, is love does not keep a record of wrongs. It's to do with taking an inventory or taking a list. So don't make a list. So, I mean, the obvious practical example of this, if we're thinking about loving our neighbour, loving other people, is do you have a mental list that you tick off when people do something wrong to you? You know, you may do something wrong, you may, somebody may do something wrong to you, somebody may upset you, somebody may say the wrong thing, and you say, oh, never mind, I forgive you. But 2 years down the line, maybe when that person does it again, you know, you haven't really forgotten it, have you? It's there in the back of your mind, and you drag it up, and you think, yeah, you did that 2 years ago, or whatever it is. Don't keep a record of wrongs. Forgiveness is not an emotion that you feel. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and it means to send away. You get rid of, from your mind, as far as is humanly possible, and certainly from your heart, you get rid of the sin against you. Friends, just as God has done the same thing for you, aren't you glad that God does not keep a record of wrongs? Do some of you think that somehow God has got a little book in which he's writing all the sins that you've ever done and all your faults and all your failings? I mean, you know them better than I do, of course, and God knows them even more than you do. And he's got this book, you think, and you think, well, God can't possibly love me and God's got this record. Friends, the good news of the Lord Jesus, the gospel, is that the Lord forgives. And when he forgives, he is able to put it right out of his mind. He does not keep a record of wrongs. And when the accusations come from the enemy about any failing that we've got, it's as if God looks in his book and says, yeah, well, should we have a look and see what the records say? And you know, there's a blank bit of paper. There's nothing there. If you've confessed your sin, if you've got right with the Lord, he blots out your transgression. Hallelujah. Such a God of mercy we have. So please, if God has forgiven you, if God has blotted out your sin, don't you think you can? So, love does not keep a record of wrongs. So don't keep a record of your own failings. Get your eyes off your failings and onto the one who has forgiven you. I'm sorry, but there are two versions which say love is not resentful. The English Standard Version and the NET. I think that's not a correct translation, really. So, if you're the kind of person that, and not every one of you is, I appreciate that, as I said right at the beginning, this will apply in all sorts of different ways. If you are the sort of person who easily writes yourself off, who thinks that you are rubbish, then please take this to heart. Don't have a record of your own sin. And maybe for a few of you, you are easily influenced by what other people think about you. So maybe, you know, you don't think too much. You may, of your own wrongdoing. Maybe you don't have a record of wrong, but maybe down through the years, various people keep reminding you, oh, well, you're rather pathetic, and you're rather this, and you're rather that, and you're rather the other. And in time, you kind of believe all this. And if you are super, super sensitive and that kind of a person, my friends, take this to heart. Don't keep a record of wrong. Don't give heed to those other people who write you off. Let God be your judge. Don't even judge yourself. The Bible says, Paul said, I do not even judge myself, but he that judges me is the Lord. So, just be careful how we handle the accusations that come, wherever they come from. And the next three, those are mental direction. The third, the next three, numbers 10 to, no, the next two, I beg your pardon. The next two give kind of emotional direction, I've called it. I'm not sure that these are quite the right way of putting these things, but anyway, this is what I've called it. Emotional direction. The next one, it says, rejoices not in iniquity, or finds no joy in unrighteousness. Rather more briefly here. What makes you rejoice? Unrighteousness? No, I trust not. You say, well, of course not. I don't rejoice in unrighteousness. Can I remind you, there's a little scripture in James 3 and verse 6 that says, the tongue is a world of iniquity, and it's the same word. And yet, actually, how many of us like a rather juicy way in which we speak? You know, whether it's gossip, accusation, lie, swearing, or whatever it is. Do you joy in how you speak? Don't find joy in unrighteousness. That literally means injustice and moral wrong. Legal injustice and moral wrong. But rather, we're to hate unrighteousness, and we're to rejoice in the truth. And truth means reality or genuineness. Rejoice in what is real. The reality lying at the basis of an appearance, the manifested, veritable essence of a matter. Vine's dictionary speaks of it in that kind of a way. Be real with yourself and with God's word about you. Rejoices in the truth. And the next three give spiritual direction. Next four, I beg your pardon, numbers 12 to 15. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So when it says all in each of these four phrases, it doesn't mean everything, it means all kinds of things. The Bible, very often, usually, when it says all, it means not everything, but all kinds of. So we are to bear all kinds of things. Now, this does not mean that we're to carry burdens. It's not that kind of bearing. It means to protect or to preserve by covering. It's like a roof. I am being born. There is something bearing me as I'm speaking. It's a marquee, and I'm very grateful for it. And you would want it as well if it was pouring with rain, but praise the Lord, it isn't. It's to protect or to preserve by covering. And it could mean to cover over with silence or to endure patiently. My friends, it's similar to what we've been looking at, really. But, you know, as far as loving yourself is concerned, it's to do with covering your sin. Don't keep taking the lid off your sin. Don't keep taking the lid off your weakness and have a jolly good gulp at your inadequacies. I mean, God knows them. Maybe other people know a few of them, but don't add to the list by having a jolly good look at them yourself. Cover yourself. The Lord has covered your sin, so why take the lid off and get thoroughly dispirited by your own weaknesses, your own frailty, your own humanity? You will have more spiritual impetus in your life if you learn to cover. Loving yourself means covering your issues. My friends, there are times we need to address certain issues. I appreciate that. But I would suggest to you that the person to dictate how and when that should happen is the Lord and not you. So, for example, if you are a very, emotional person or a very arrogant person, a proud person, I mean, just being honest, if that's, you know, those are your weaknesses, you can get thoroughly discouraged and, you know, for the next 6 months or so, you can say, Lord, I'm a very proud person. Lord, I'm a very emotional person, depending on whether you're male or female. Got it? And you say, Lord, please, would you deal with this? And you get stirred up about it. And each time you give in to whatever it is, you get even more dispirited. And you have set the agenda. And actually, the Lord may be saying to you quite simply, look, that's not what I want to deal with at the moment. I actually want to deal with your gluttony. Or whatever it is. There's something else. And he may not actually even be wanting to do that. He may simply wanting you to develop a relationship with him that will strengthen you so that you may be able to deal with the pride and the emotionalism in 2 years' time. Or whatever it is. Friends, what I'm saying is walk with God in it all. Yeah? Well, I was hoping for a bit of feedback on that, but never mind. Walk with the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. Love bears all things. Friends, we have to bear each other. We have to cover one another's sins. God covers us. Let's cover ourselves as well. With silence. Don't talk to yourself in a wrong kind of way. There is a talking to yourself that is necessary in a right way. My soul, magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced. There is a time we need to address our souls, but this is not one of them. Okay? Tell your soul to worship and magnify the Lord, but don't keep telling yourself what a rotten person you are, is what I'm saying. So that's the first direction, spiritually, that is absolutely vital. Bears all kinds of things. Love believes all kinds of things. That doesn't mean to say gullible, thank you, gullible, that you're gullible. It means, that's just being stupid, all right? But it does mean that you are a person of moral and religious conviction. It's to do with faith, and faith is hearing from the Lord and relying on him and seeing his perspective on things. So, to love the Lord, our love believing all kinds of things means that we need to hear from the Lord and commit ourselves to him and follow him. That's what our loving the Lord means here. But to love yourself means that you persuade yourself. You convince yourself. Why? Because you're standing with the Lord against your own heart, against your own self. So you take God's view, as we were saying last time. The key to loving ourselves in all of these things is that we side with God against our sinful nature. So we accept what God has to say about us, and as soon as we do that, we are at peace. My friends, God wants you to be a person who is at peace with yourself, at peace with how he's made you, at peace with how he is leading you, at peace with your own soul, as well as peace with God. In a sense, please understand me correctly, I'm saying you need to believe in yourself in a right kind of way. If you feel that the Lord is setting something for you to do and in front of you, love says, Simon, if God has told you to do that, you can do it. Go for it. Love is not saying, God has said that to you, Simon, but you know, well, actually, I don't think I can. Be persuaded. Let the scripture persuade you. Let the Lord by his spirit persuade you that you are able to do things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. My friends, God has a purpose for your life. There is a future. There is a hope. There is a certain hope. This is not wishful thinking. This is a certain hope that God has put in front of us. And to love yourself means that you believe that. I was speaking to somebody fairly recently and I said, you know, where would you like to see yourself in 5 years' time, 3 years' time, 10 years' time? I won't tell you what the person's answer was, but it was a very important question because actually some of us don't have any kind of aspirations. It's good to have aspirations. It's good to have ambitions in a right sense. We have to submit them to the Lord. What this is saying is have realistic hopes. Let the Lord give you some direction to your life. Not necessarily a great fan of New Year's resolutions, but they do have a place. But whether it's New Year or otherwise, do you have a goal for your life? Do you know what the Lord's goal for your life is? I'm not talking about thinking up sort of, you know, well, I'd like to be this, that and the other. I'd like to go and visit the Bahamas by the time I'm 80 or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about go to the Lord, ask him to give you what you need for the next little while of your life. It may simply be, Lord, I'm going to make sure I read the scriptures for the next year. I'm going to make sure I read the Bible from one end of the Old Testament to the other end of the New Testament. Well, have vision, my friend. Have God's direction. And finally, love endures all things. If God sets out the hope, then endure, which means stick at it and don't give up. The word actually means to remain under, as in the sense of bearing a trial, persevering, or undergoing certain things. Endure all things. I wonder, I've not done this, I've not thought about this greatly, but I just wonder whether we could say these last four things, the spiritual direction, like this. I think it's really saying, loving yourself means letting God do certain things. Letting God protect you. Let God cover you. Let God protect you. Let God speak to you and give you faith. Let God reveal himself to you. And let God give you that endurance which we all need. Well, direction. Mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. May God help us to love ourselves in that right way, so that we can then learn to love others, love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Well, I trust there's been something there in all of that for every one of us to take away. Let's pray together, shall we please? Dear Father, we want to thank you that your word is so practical and so direct. And Lord, you know where for each one of us, we are really not loving ourselves as we should. And we just want to pray, you'll help each one of us, perhaps particularly at this time of such national upheaval and so on, that we would just have a right acceptance of ourselves. A right acceptance of ourselves because you have accepted us in the Beloved. A right view of ourselves. Lord, deliver us from being self-centered all the time. Lord, help us, we pray, with all of these practical ways to be those who love ourselves in a right way. We ask all these things and we give you all the glory, Lord, because you've given us such an example of love. We thank you that you are love and the Holy Spirit who is love is in each one of us who knows you. Thank you that we can do these things because you enable us to do it. Lord, help us to stand against any temptation of our old sinful nature not to love ourselves in a right way, we pray. So we commit ourselves to you and we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen.